Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and today I'm very excited to welcome to the show, Brett Hirata. Welcome, Brett.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you doing?
So, Brett, with each of our guests, we always ask the same question. What has God been highlighting to you recently? So, what's God been teaching you?
I think God has been teaching me, and it's really personal. I think as God's been teaching me, what does my faith look like? And that could be very broad, but I guess it's in the sense of what am I personally leaning on when I'm going through certain situations. Recently, I've been able to experience a lot of highs and lows and good things and frustrations. A pandemic wedding, shout out to my wife. Also, just the home buying process and starting a new ministry and family things. And so in all these aspects of my life, it's how does my faith play into that? And I think I've been more cognizant of what that actually looks like. And so God's been teaching me in areas that I'm really good at having a lot of faith and being able to take big steps or have a lot of trust. And then there's also areas that not so good at, and it's a lot harder to have that faith. And so it's really had me reflect on what does faith actually look like for myself.
Do you mind sharing with us some of the areas that it's been harder to have faith in?
Yeah. So I'm sure a lot of the church knows by now. We've been able to, and we're fortunate to have a lot of the support of the church, but my wife and I have been looking for a house for over like a year and a half now, and the pandemic definitely hasn't helped. But that was one thing where we knew in our heads that God had something. And I think a lot of times just in life, we know that, we always say, well, God has the best for you. And that's sometimes the encouragement that we give people when we don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Because it's true. But when you're face to face with a situation where you don't know how it's going to play out or how it's going to go, and then having to just trust on, well, God has a plan. That's where I think that wrestle with faith comes into play. It's because the circumstances around me don't feel like things are going to happen or change.
Yeah.
But yet I know in my head and my heart that God has something. And so when those things don't align, how do you cope with that? How do you deal with that on even a day-to-day basis and looking at the long term, right? Like Brittany and I would spend too much time on Redfin and Zillow and stuff like that. And we'd bother our agent like crazy. But, there were certain times where we felt like, okay, we need to take a break. Like in faith, we need to just say, okay, God, this is out of our hands. We're going to stop looking. And so, sometimes I think selfishly in our hearts, we're like, okay, maybe if we do this, then God will open something, like it would be like a domino effect of if we decide to not look at Redfin for a month, after that month, God's going to provide a house.
Yeah.
But, in his own timing, I think that's another key aspect of it. In his own timing, the plan that God had or what he had for us, it eventually did come to fruition. And we're able to now look forward to moving into a place that, we were fortunate to buy a place. And even just initially reflecting on that journey, a lot of it was, I would say, more tough than easy in trusting and having that faith.
Yeah, and in being able to walk with you as part of that journey, I think one of the neat things that this experience has shown is that you and Brittany have had to really walk together and learn what your faith looks like together as a couple to walk together in that. And I feel like this journey has really actually brought you closer together and made you guys have to cling to each other for support, for just being able to encourage each other when it seems like, oh man, it's not going right. It's not going the way that we want. And so I think that's been something that has been neat to see how, rather than let this pull you guys apart, it's really actually brought you guys closer together.
No, yeah. I mean, first of all, shout out to my beautiful wife, Brittany, but also just dealing with my own faith is hard. Having to have a collective one and learn how to be married and do that, it's so good, but so much harder too as well. And so this process hasn't always even been easy between the two of us in figuring out what that faith looks like, how much what do we do? What are you getting a sense of something? I'm not getting a sense. I think we need to do that. You know, like,
yeah,
just, it just adds another layer of complexity, but that's a whole nother story and a whole nother podcast. And yeah.
Well, maybe you'll have to come on again just to share with us a little bit about that story. Maybe after things calm down a little
bit. Yeah, I have to get permission from Brittany first.
Or maybe we'll have to bring both of you on together.
Oh no, that would be good. You could hear her dish the behind the scenes stories about me.
Okay, so Brett, one of the other things that I wanted to bring you on for to talk about is, you know, you've just recently started a new position at church, leading our junior high, actually starting a brand new ministry towards our junior hires. Before, junior high and high school were put together as part of Magnetic, and one of the things that we've recognized is that, you know, we really want to recognize the different stages that our kids are going through. So feeling like, yeah, high school is a little bit different than junior high. So maybe there's time now that we have as a church to be able to split them apart and being able to focus on different things with the junior hires and high schoolers. So welcome to the staff as part of the junior high ministry. But you've been doing it for a little while now. And one of the things that's been kind of neat is hearing some of the themes that you guys have been going through. So I kind of wanted you to be able to share with our church family and the people out there some of the things that God has been leading you in to really speak into and train and lead our junior hires in. So can you share some of the interesting themes that you guys have been going through?
Yeah, no, I feel very fortunate to be able to have this position and serve and it be a part of my quote-unquote job. And, you know, I'm fortunate that I get to work with you in a business sense, but also ministry sense. And I know you led the transitions class. And so it was really helpful to pray about and discern kind of what God was putting on my heart for this position, or like, why am I getting called, or why do I have the opportunity to do this? And
okay, so sorry, let me stop right there for a second, because for those of you guys that don't know, our church does have a business. It's a design business, and it's called Ahava Design. And Brett and I work together. So when he says that we get to work together, that's one of the things that he's referring to. Also, is our church business that we get to work together.
Yeah, shout out Ahava. They're doing big things. But okay, back to the ministry. Yeah, I've been able to really pray. I had a lot of time to prep before this started, which was nice. And I was praying a lot. And I think just understanding even my own situation and looking back at myself in middle school and then seeing where the world is at now and just all that kids as soon as they could use an iPad are exposed to, just how do you... Like, I don't even know how to deal with some of that stuff, right? And so as a middle schooler, how are they supposed to? And if that's, the next generation, if that's going to be the next set of leaders, if that's going to be the next whatever, how do we help equip them to be able to withstand and stand firm and be a light in those areas? You know, Pastor Barry at one point had said something like he felt like we were sending our youth or our kids into, like, war, and they're not equipped with anything. And so it's like hearing that I felt like at that time I needed to do something, and now I have the opportunity, and God has put me in a position to. And so one of the things that I came up with was I'm trying to be clever with them, even though I think sometimes they don't appreciate it. I don't know if it's starting to show my age or anything like that, but I'm trying to get things that'll catch and click in their head so that they'll remember it, right? And so maybe I'm giving my secrets away to them if they're going to listen or their parents are going to tell them. But our first theme that we went through to kind of go over this lens and this relationship dynamic between us and God was S the T. And so that stood for speak the truth. And really the four aspects of that is taking a look at what does the truth, God's word, say about him? What does it say first about God? Right? Do we understand who God is? And, it, you know, when we explain to other people that don't know God, are we giving them an accurate description of who God is, right? If you better understand who God is, then the next one is, then you can better understand who you are, right? I heard this saying, it's like, when you know whose you are, then you know who you are, right? And so if you are made in the image of God, then you know who you are. And so the next one is, what does the truth say about who you are, right? And our church has gone over identity, identity, identity. Mm-hmm. But it's so important. And In this day and age, I think there's definitely big purpose for why God brought us through that. But for them, I want them to understand how they're gifted, who they are, who God's made them to be, that they can stand on that. And so what does the truth say about who they are? The next one is, what does the truth say about how we should be with those closest around us, right? Our family, our close friends. What does it look like to be a son? What does it look like to be a daughter? What does it look like to be a close friend? And then the last one is, what does the truth say about our relationship with the world, right? There's so much stuff around us, their school, their sports teams, who they're involved with, their friends. And so it was part of them being able to speak and understand what the Bible is telling them who to be and how to be, and then challenging them to apply that in those areas. So in their relationship with God, in their reflecting and looking at themselves, in their relationship with their parents, and then in their relationship with things outside of that. And so that was the first theme that we just finished. And I think it was good. I think they're glad that they're done with that series. But I think it was something that will be continued almost like each year, just mm-hmm. of going through the foundations of kind of what you're going to, the lenses that you're going to look through in middle school ministry.
Yeah, so you guys just finished that, and you were recently, this morning, telling me a little bit of a story about how you're introducing the next series. It was kind of funny. I kind of wanted you to share a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the next series, I was like, well, okay, where do we go from here after that intro that kind of describes the lenses that we're going to look through and go through? And so I had them try to think of even like designs or logos or what is special about our group? And they kept going back to fire. Like they liked something with fire. And I was like, okay, I don't know like what to do with fire or how can we get creative with that? And so something that came to mind of what I thought was a popular term that kids use these days to describe something that's awesome or cool is the word lit. Like you hear people say like, oh, that's lit, or like stay lit or things like that. And so I was like, oh, they'll really like take to this because it's part of their vocabulary.
Yeah.
And so I had them guess, okay, guys, our next series is, it's going to be the word stay. And then the next word I had them guess. And I was like, okay, what's the next word? And they were like, stay holy, stay pure, stay. I was like, okay, those are all really good, but it's something actually more secular. It might be a term that you guys use, right? And they were like, what is it? And I was like, it means like, I think awesome, or if something's fire or cool. And they're like, fire, like I don't know. And I was like, it's lit. And they're like, we don't say that, no one says that anymore. And I think one of them told me that's a word that 20 or 30 year olds use when they're trying to stay cool or relevant. And I was just like, I don't even use that word. I was trying to, you know, lean to your vocabulary, what your guys' verbiage, but I guess I was trying too hard or whatever. But the real reason why I was using lit is I came up with, now we went from speak to truth to lit is like live in truth. And so it's taking those concepts, but now breaking them down or applying them to their life. I wanted them to get more involved and take initiative and see how that plays out for them, instead of it just being more of a head knowledge type thing.
Yeah.
Where we're just discussing theoretical or like hypothetical situations, where some of these things, I want them to see how it actually is playing out in their life so that they can have that experience now and not wait till they're in college or a young adult where like, oh, now I get it, or now it clicks. It's really me. I just want to plant the seeds and have them have that exposure to it at their age, and then trusting that as they go through high school and magnetic or college groups or ministries, that those things are able to grow and bear fruit, and it won't be like a catching up instead of like a, oh no, I've seen that before, I'm accustomed to that, or I've heard that before, and be able to use it.
Yeah, it seems like the common theme that you've been going through recently is just really truth. Truth, and what does it look like to you know, understand the truth about who God is, truth about who I am, but then also how do we live that out, and what does that look like? And I know that for you, part of your journey in understanding how to live out truth is messy grace.
Yes.
So I did want to talk a little bit about how you've been trying to incorporate messy grace and how you feel like that's really helped to enhance how we're able to live in truth and how you want to help train the junior hires to be able to live that out too.
Yeah, another shout out to Messy Grace. Messy Grace was personally for me a life changer in more than one way. Initially it was, or I guess the main purpose of it was for the church in dealing with, or how do we love, the LGBTQ community. And it was really eye-opening in terms of how to approach that, because that's such a touchy subject and hot topic, right?
Especially today, nowadays it's really touchy, and it's really, you're either on one side or the other side, right?
Yeah,
there's no in between.
Yeah. And I think the world, makes you feel like you have to pick a side.
Yeah.
And Christians get pigeonholed one way or another. And then even within that, from Christian to Christian, you have judgments or like, oh, they're, whatever. But Messy Grace was a life changer because I feel like the principles that it taught us, this idea of truth and grace and where you want to be, is not necessarily just on one side or the other, but what love really looks like is the tension in between. That key word of tension, of it's not always the easiest place. There's this pull to one side or the other, but where you want to be is there. Not only did I find that it just applied to dealing with, issues of, LGBTQ stuff, or how do I have people in the church, or wanting to serve, or going over topics of that nature, but I was like, if it could work for a situation that's so difficult, so touchy, so sensitive, so tough, it has to be able to work like just in life in general, right? And so I started to try to take those principles and apply it to first myself. Just a quick story, I have always felt, dealing with a lot of anxiety and different things, a tension within myself of like, when we talk about who God really created me to be, is it this anxious person that, I've grown to have a lot of strengths within that, or is it, no, this is not from God, so that's not who I am. But then it's become such a big part of me. I always had this tension and wrestling with it. And so even approaching myself with the scale of truth and grace, and what does that look like, allowed me to love myself more and accept who I am and how God has made me, and even my faults, but seeing where God has provided a silver lining, or he's used that in some way to glorify him, right? Or in my strengths, what does that look like? But the truth of those things, of too much of it could also be a weakness, right? And so it's really about balance, and the balance isn't necessarily just 50-50, but it's willing to be in that tension. And so it allowed me to kind of relax and be like, it's okay to be in the tension. It's okay to be somewhere in between. I don't have to say this is exactly or this is exactly. It's like, no, I think there's a mixture of both, that for myself, how God has made me, he's made me in, A, B, C, and D, these ways, but also the ways that I've had to experience life or go through things and lean on him. It doesn't mean that those things aren't true. It doesn't mean that those things aren't a part of me, but it also doesn't define me. And so it gave me this balance of I guess a sense of freedom to be more of who just I am, and it is what it is type of thing, right? And so I think through that experience, I felt like, man, if in middle school they could experience some of that and apply that to who they are, and when they come through problems or dealing with difficult people or situations, I feel like they would be able to then not have to deal with maybe so much of the hurt or unnecessary lies or things like that, because they would understand like, no, I'm good where I'm at, like in the tension. I'm okay with finding this balance between, truth and grace, and knowing that ultimately that's love, and that's where Jesus is. And so that was a big conviction, a big inspiration, a big heart for middle school to have and grow. I mean, for anyone that I come in contact, really, I'm willing to talk about this, but specifically with the middle school ministry, that was an area that I think really sparked, or God was moving my heart for these different series that we're going through.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that sets apart what you're doing with the junior hires from, whether it's historical Christianity, where it seems like the common theme was truth, truth, truth. and it was missing the grace part. And where we are today in our society, where it's grace, 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 and it's missing the truth part. But what we're trying to help our young people grow up in is, yes, there is truth, and we need to hold tightly to the truth, but then there's also grace that the Lord shows us, and we need to be able to hold tightly to grace and be able to hold both of them tightly to be able to love, to really love people. Because if we're not speaking the truth, if we're not living in the truth, then that's not really loving either, right? We're, you know, when we were growing up, it was always right. If everybody's going to jump off a bridge, are you going to follow them? Right. So it's like, if we allow people to live apart from the truth, it's like allowing them to jump off the bridge. Right. And so we do need to live in truth, but then at the same time, we need to be able to extend grace, because if we're living in truth without grace, then people are going to be totally turned off from us, right?
For sure. And I think that picture of truth and grace is really, it in its simplest form, it boils down to the gospel. Like when you put it plain and simply, like even the image of Jesus on the cross, right, with his arms spread, you know, it's truth on one end and grace on the other side. Like, we deserved death, right? That's the truth of the matter. Sin, we deserve death. And then if it was just that, there would be no hope. There would be no salvation, because we don't deserve it. But then what the grace is, that our sins are forgiven, and, you know, he's given it, what it comes at a cost, and that's him on the cross. And so I think when I think of messy grace and I think of truth and grace, I really do just picture Jesus on the cross and sharing, if you want to love somebody, that's what it is. It's that picture of truth and grace and being somewhere between, because Jesus is the ultimate example of that.
Yeah, and so I think that's really neat that you're trying to set that as the foundation for our young people as they approach life. Because, you know, once they get to junior high and then high school and then college, life's going to come at them fast. And so having that as the foundation for them to really be rooted in their truth, know who the Lord is, know who the Lord says that they are, but then able to extend grace out to people and really show them love. I really feel like that's going to be awesome and so helpful for them as they try to discern how to live out in the world.
Yeah, that's definitely my prayer and hope as continuing to discern for the group. And, you know, here's the stuff that the church is going through overall. And then, okay, what does that look like also for the middle school age group and it being appropriate for that age? But you know, they're so smart and they already know so much. And so it's just really empowering them and speaking into them and, you know, just trying to do my best to follow where God's leading me to set example for them.
Yeah, that's super, Brandon, you were expecting me to say neat, but I'm not going to say neat. So it's kind of funny because Brandon told me yesterday that he has a neat counter on me. So he said sometimes I use it so much that like one episode I said it 7 times or something like that.
I don't think
that.
I've heard it this whole episode. So I think you're giving him a 0 today.
Well, okay, I just use it twice, but that was just to explain what I was doing. So Brett, I think it's super cool what you're doing with our junior hires and how you're trying to discern where the Lord is leading them. And I feel like it really fits into the direction that our church is going right now. Been focusing on things like having a biblical worldview and knowing what the truth is and understanding just really what God is doing in the world and how he wants and is calling us to live in that. And I think it's awesome how you're discerning that for our kids too.
Yeah, I love our church, and I'm so thankful for just the staff and everybody that attends and the ways that our church is able to walk through these different things. And I think through the past couple of years, it's shown me, like, if I didn't have faith, if I didn't have God, I don't know where I would be, man, like with everything going on. And so it's been awesome to stay connected through technology or now being in person. And it's just so much, it's so needed to have church in that community. And so, I love it.
Yeah. So Brett, another thing that happened this morning was that you were kind of sharing a video with me. Do you want to kind of talk a little bit through what that video is all about and why you wanted to talk about it today on this episode?
Yeah. So, you know, it just came to mind when I was thinking about Messy Grace was, Hillsong has this song, Another in the Fire. And, you know, my family really loves that song and personally it means a lot to me, but there was this cool, like, behind the scenes story of the song. And the singer was going through a tough time. And I don't think he's the main singer, but he was going through a family thing with his kid, and he was really upset. He was really frustrated with God, and to the point of asking him, you know, why. And, you know, I think those are some of the thoughts that, that we can all relate to sometimes. You know, we have these frustrations with God. And this song really comforted him in feeling like he's not alone. Mm. And a big thing that he said in it, and I might butcher it, but he was just saying how his hope through the song was that people learn that they're not alone, and that when things don't happen or we're not sure how God's working, it doesn't make the things that are true not true. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't take away from the truth. It doesn't sacrifice the truth. But he had this quick saying that about, you know, the things are still true. They're the here, they're the here and now and yet to come. They're the, you know, things of now and not yet. And so it's this idea that sometimes things are happening now, or they're happening in the present, and we see them and we feel them and we know, and that's awesome. And we are able to experience that truth. And sometimes we don't in that moment, and we don't feel those things, or maybe we don't see God's promise come to fruition, or we don't feel that in the moment, but it doesn't mean that it's not true, that it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so it's this faith to know that we have a God who doesn't change. And so if he's truthful today and we experience it, if we don't experience the next day, it doesn't mean that he's not that, that he's not truthful, he's not all powerful, he's not full of love and grace, that those things are still to come. And so that's the hope that we can have in it. And so he just put it so way more profoundly than I did, and way more eloquently. But I thought it was so relevant to just that idea of when you're dealing with faith, the thing that I was struggling with and God was teaching me about, and dealing with messy grace, and dealing with, okay, where am I supposed to be in this balance of truth and grace, and trying to find love. We sometimes don't always get it right, or it's hard to figure that out, but we can put our hope in God and knowing that there's another day and God's still the same. There's another day that and God's still the same. And so, yeah, if you don't feel it or don't know it now, it doesn't mean that it's not true. It doesn't take away from that. It's not something that you have to sacrifice because it's not happening in the moment. We can trust that it's coming, and it's not yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like that's a common theme that's going on in our church right now, is just how do we understand what's going on when things aren't going easy, right? Mm. So in a recent sermon, Pastor Robert was talking about suffering and when we suffer, and how that's actually could be a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when we suffer, what God can be producing good character in us when things are going hard and we have to struggle through things. Sometimes what God is doing is he's refining us, and he's creating and showing and revealing the character that we have, because we won't notice some of those things if everything's always going good. But when things are going hard, that's when we see really what type of person we are, and it reveals our true character. And I think sometimes God uses those times to help us to recognize the ways that we've grown, and the ways that he's changed us, and the way that our faith has grown, because we really need to exercise faith, not when everything's going good, but when it's hard.
Yeah. That's definitely the part of the walking the walk, right? And not just talking the talk. And, you know, as you're saying character, all I can hear in my head, and if my mom's listening to this, she's gonna text me immediately. I guarantee you, if she listens to this and hears this, she's gonna say, "Brett, I told you. Like, I've been telling you the whole character thing, that you're just building character when you're going through these different things." And it's true, Mom. I'll admit it's true. Okay, you were right, and I believe you. But I think it's cool that there's so many things that are aligned in that way, and even going through some of that stuff is hard. Right. Yeah. Learning it is even hard, but
for sure it's hard. Yeah. I mean, there's times in life where things are hard, you know, and we don't want to say that things are always going to be easy, but you know, when we recognize what else is going on, what else is God revealing to us in some of those hard times, you know, that's when he can reveal himself, that he is there with us in the fire, right? That's where that song talks about. It's
yeah.
when we're in the fire, we recognize that God is with us.
For sure.
Right. And God doesn't want us to forget that part, that mm-hmm. that's true. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you were saying, the truth, just because we're going through something hard and doesn't feel like that, doesn't make it not true.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's where we need to have things in alignment, and mm-hmm. we need to remember, and we need the Holy Spirit to remind us that what the truth really is. And so yeah. I think that's part of why it's so cool that you are focusing so much on truth with the junior hires right now, is because when they struggle, when things get hard in their life, that they'll have this foundation of the truth that they'll know, and that they'll be able to stand firm on this foundation. Yeah. Even when things are hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's a big thing too. Like I don't worry too much about people when things are good.
Yeah.
Right. We're always asking people, are you okay, when something's going wrong? And so, you know, my hope is that they feel so loved and affirmed in who they are, that they don't feel like they have to be somebody else or something else, that they don't have to reach for other things, but they know that God loves them for how he's made them. And so that's, they're cool with being that. And that would be my ultimate dream and hope and prayer, is that they feel so, and I don't even want to just say secure, because it's not even just a insecurity or security thing, but it's just like this belief, this deep understanding and knowledge of who God has made them to be, that you're cool just how God has made you, and you don't, like, that is a light in itself. You don't have to reach for this or be swayed by that, but like, just keep doing you, and that will get you, you know, God will provide wherever you need to go. And so that's my hope for them.
I don't think you just have to consider that a hope, Brett. I feel like the seeds that you're planting right now, well, you'll be able to see the fruit in the future. And I'm telling you from experience, because I'm able to see it in you, and just being someone that's been able to walk with you since you were younger, just the seeds that you plant, God's going to continue to water them. God's going to continue to grow them. And it's going to be neat, you know, in 20 years, you're going to be sitting there like I am, just feeling very proud of the people that, you know, the junior hires are going to become, because that's how I feel about you, Brett.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate it a lot.
So do you have anything, any last words that you'd like to leave with our church or our Catalyst family?
I don't know. I feel like the sense that I'm getting is kind of just from this discussion. I know it could be not always easy to listen to just this topic, or like if you're going through something, you're like, I don't want to hear that because, you know, for whatever reason. But I feel like it could be cool to just give them some encouragement. Mm. And so I don't know if anything comes to you, but I would want to encourage people. And whether you're struggling or not, even if you're in a place that's good, to take a look at life, or your life, or different aspects or relationships that you have, or whatever it might be, and understanding that messy grace, and allowing yourself to be okay with being in that tension, allowing yourself to be okay with having to wrestle with some of those things, and not just feel like you have to pick a side and ignore the rest, or, you know, whatever it might be, and know that that's where God is, that Jesus is in that tension. He's in that love. And so if you're coming from that place, then you are also representing Jesus with that heart, with that love, because, you know, most of us have good intentions and stuff, but it's like, how does that execute? And I think the messy grace thing helps you execute those things. And so that's really why it's a big tool for me. It allows me to execute where my heart is, and ultimately I'm trying to come from a place of love. And so I'm looking at God and how he does it, and trying to emulate that the best that I can. And so I just want to encourage everyone to give yourself some grace, but don't sacrifice your grace or sacrifice your truth, but instead be okay with being in that tension and loving people.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't want to go to that place of the tension because it's hard, right? Mm. It's a lot easier just to pick one side or the other, but to be able to wade through and discern and live in the tension of what does it look like to live in the truth and hold tight to that, and live in grace and hold tight to that, that's hard. And it might seem like we're under fire, because you might be feeling like you're under fire from both sides, right? The truth side might say you're too far on the other side, and the grace side might say you're too far on the other side. But in the midst of that, that's where the Lord is, right? And that's a picture that we can have with that song, the Another in the Fire, right? Mm-hmm. Even when we're in the fire of feeling we're having to wrestle with some of these things, that the Lord is there with us.
For sure. No, that's a good word.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Thanks for having you on. I just really appreciate you and all that you have and all that you're doing with our junior hires.
Oh, no, I'm excited and so thankful to be on. Thanks for having me. I get to witness some of them live and in person, so it's nice to be in this seat for a change.
All right, so until next time, may you experience God's desire for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.